Our last case this morning is 2021-1233 Medina County Bar Association versus Russell Anthony Bozzelli for the respondent. Mr. Bozzelli. You'll have to unmute yourself, Mr.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you, Your Honor. Again, good morning, Chief Justice, and to members of the court. My name is Russell Anthony Bozzelli. I would like to reserve 7 minutes of time in the argument, and good morning to Ms. Walker as well. May I proceed? Thank you. As it relates to the entire case, before I begin, I'd first like to say, I extend my sincere apologies and sorrow for anyone who has been hurt, including Ms. Sheridan, Ms. Foster, and Ms. Tremonti, by my actions. Also extending that to members of my family and to my wife. Having said that, at the same time, I'd like to address issues which I feel during this case have not been addressed, because I will not be genuine, not disingenuous, by taking one approach and one approach only. And that is, I have steadfastly throughout this process attempted to maintain my position as far as what I have admitted and what I have done. More specifically, I had stipulated to the 1.7 violation as it related to the Foster case. At hearing, and I do not know why earlier, as to Sheridan, I admitted to the 1.1, 1.3, and 1.4 violations. With that, at the same time, I have to be clear that in my position, I stand separate and apart from a second brief that was filed on July 27th by my former counsel, Mr. James, because in that he made certain representations on his brief at page 13 at numbers 1 through 5 as to what he placed as what he perceived as admitted violations without any discussion with me whatsoever. I am unable to have any discussion with respect to that as far as the stipulation at 1, which is a 1.7. And I've already said that I've stipulated to that. As it relates to the motion to the remand that has been filed, I do have to state that with the amount of time given, and I thank the court for that, that findings were made. And the findings that were made by the panel, specifically as to count 1, deal with findings that are not in the record. And I demonstrated by the motion to remand in this case, as far as the claim violations for 1.4, 3.3, 5.3, that there are publications that are publicly available that show that there was no fraud committed upon a tribunal. Number one, there has been talk about an answer. It was a reply. It was a reply in stanter. And when it was filed, and as the court's order shows, there was no forgery or unauthorized use of name. Instead, it was filed in the fashion of an instanter so that Ms. Foster would have the opportunity to either accept that reply instanter or not. And the court's entry and order that was issued by Judge Sarah Loy provides exactly that set of facts. So with that, I would have to respectfully take issues with the panel's findings, because the panel's findings in this regard directly contradict what the tribunal has said and directly contradict the email that was sent to Ms. Foster dated January 2nd. I provided a copy of that to the panel in the motion. The relator counsel has stated that Ms. Foster didn't know anything of what was going on in federal court until January the 11th. I just bring that to the court's attention because with a remand, I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm not asking you to not believe me. I'm asking the database that's available, or the databases that I have said since day one, look at my emails, look at the transactions, look at the filings. Those don't lie. they provide exactly what I've been maintaining as far as the Northern District Court as it relates to those allegations in count one. Finally, as it relates to the count one, I shift to the second motion, which is the request for a second request for remand on the bases of due process. In the panel's findings in count one, as I understand them, they have made the finding that I have committed a crime. It is very quickly, to save time, 2903.11, menacing, is the claim of the hearing officer, the judge who wrote the opinion. Unfortunately, if I understand the rules, and if I understand the attendant case law and the decisions of this court, in order to have such a finding, there must be a conviction. If not, then there would be an interim suspension until such time as anyone in my position would have their day in court. I have not been provided all of the discovery. I have asked for it repeatedly. There's been spoliated items that have been provided. We've objected. It's a matter of record, and we still don't have these. Putting those items to the side, I would ask, in addition for the remand on those issues in count one and count two, then as it relates to count three with respect to Mrs. Tremonti, that the remand be had for the same reason. I have been accused of filling hours, puffing hours, yet I provided with the final detailed billing that I was able to assemble by going through emails that had become unlocked, matter of record, in the computer's database, again, in the metadata, and was able to recreate the bill that had been hacked out of my computer. I provided emails that were sent to Mrs. Tremonti that indeed corroborate these hours. Where those emails are, they've been provided to bar counsel, they've been provided to my counsel in Columbus, Mr. James, I do not know. But I would ask the court not to believe me or disbelieve, but again, remand for purposes of looking at the database that shows that the activities that I claim in my billing for Ms. Tremonti indeed are not only real, but are corroborated and in conjunction with my calendar. There are numerous visits and conferences that took place, phone calls. All these have been documented. I appreciate the tough job that the panel had in trying to go through and sift through the billings when someone admits they have had their computer hacked. I told everyone that this is not the true representation. I am trying to put this together for the panel when this case first started. I have been working diligently on this issue of billing until such time as I completed the bill and I gave it to counsel in Columbus, Attorney James. Why it was presented or not presented, I don't know. But I would ask the court to consider that, and I believe that I'm out of time at this point.
Mr. Bazzelli, I have a question on count
yes,
one.
Yes, Your Honor.
On count one?
Yes.
I understand your argument about the menacing, but I need to know, right before that in the report and recommendation, there's a quotation of you, allegedly of you speaking, that Ms. Foster taped about you claiming to have killed a human being.
Oh, yes.
Is that an accurate recitation of what the tape, what the audio shows?
That's what it does say that, yes.
And it, was that you?
That is me, yes.
Okay. And was Ms. Foster a client of yours at the time? Later on in paragraph 23, it says at the time you were representing her in Barberton Municipal Court on post-conviction and Section 1983 action in the U.S. District Court. Were you doing that at the time you made that statement?
To the best of my knowledge, the answer is no. And the reason is the last representation that would have taken place. Should I go further, Your Honor, or did I answer?
So you didn't represent her at the time you made that statement to her?
At that point in time, that's correct. My last representation of her would have been on October the 12th, and that would have been of 2018 as it relates to the divorce case. All that remained at that point in time was the Northern District case, which I had already informed her that I would be eventually withdrawing from.
Okay, well, this one says in paragraph 22 that the conversation took place on September 23, which would have been about a month before you stopped representing her.
No, excuse me. To the best of my knowledge, Your Honor, that is, Justice Fisher, that is incorrect.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. And with that, I believe I am out of time, unless there are any other questions.
Ms. Walker.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please this court, I am Patricia A. Walker, Bar Counsel of the Medina County Certified Grievance Committee. I represent Relator in this matter with Patricia Lowry, who will not be presenting this morning. The key words are remorse, responsibility, and respect, none of which have been shown by Mr. Bozzelli. Mr. Bozzelli was found by the Board of Professional Conduct to have violated 18 rules of professional conduct. The board found 6 aggravating factors: dishonesty or selfish motive, pattern of misconduct and multiple offenses, submission of false evidence, false statements, other deceptive practices during the disciplinary process, refusal to acknowledge wrongful conduct, vulnerability of and resulting harm to victims of misconduct, and failure to make restitution. There was only one mitigating factor, that he had no prior discipline.
Could you remind me of the made-up evidence you just referenced?
Yes, the made-up evidence was the two billing, the Exhibit O and Q that were in the Tremonti matter, and also the Exhibit M, which was the dissolution decree that stated Ottawa County when Mr. Bozzelli, the clients were in either Summit County or Medina County, and it also had a date of hearing of December 1st, 2018, but at the time Mr. Bozzelli was fired on October of 2018, nothing was pending in court, and there was no hearing date of December 1st, 2018.
So is it Medina County's contention that that statement was made while he was still representing Ms. Foster, the one I referenced earlier?
Yes. As the record will show, the documents that Mr. Bozzelli filed yesterday show that he did not withdraw from the federal case until January 2nd, 2019. And the threat occurred in September of 2018.
And does Medina County Bar support the panel recommendation of 2 years, 6 months stayed, or the board recommendation of 2 years?
We believe that the 2 years is appropriate. We had asked for an indefinite suspension, but we agree with the 2 year suspension. Mr. Bozzelli has not shown remorse until today. There have been no statements about apology prior to today. Further, he has never said anything about how he wanted to change his legal practice. He hasn't shown responsibility. The hearing panel found that Mr. Bozzelli was evasive, vague, accusatory, and his allegations unsupported by any credible evidence. And we find his statements here today also problematic. Mr. Bozzelli blamed the grievance and others. He blamed his wife's illness, but moved in with his lover when his wife was in rehab. He filed a civil protection proceeding for his wife to get back at his former lover. In his objections, Mr. Bozzelli contends that a long suspension would hurt his wife, but the board found that Ms. Bozzelli was able to return to work in 2019 and continued to be able to rework. He does not take responsibility for his actions. In his answer in the complaint, he admitted no violations. On the second day of hearing, he admitted the Rule 3.3A1 violation,
Can I just interrupt you for a minute? Is Ms. Bozzelli still able to work? Do you know?
All I know is as of July 2021, she was able to work.
Do you know if she was working?
She was not. She was working for Mr. Bozzelli if she was working.
Okay, thank you.
On the second day of the hearing, Mr. Bozzelli admitted that he violated Rule 3.3A1. Yesterday, he took it back. In the objections, he admitted that he violated Rules 1.4A2 and 5.3A, and yesterday, he took it back. The court should be aware that there's a stipulation in this matter that clearly addresses his issue on remand. He says that he didn't tell the federal court anything wrong. However, stipulation 14, which Mr. Bozzelli said he agreed with, says after Attorney Bozzelli withdrew from the 1983 action in federal court and without any consultation with Ms. Foster, Attorney Anthony Bozzelli filed an answer to a counterclaim in Stanter on behalf of Ms. Foster, signed Ms. Foster's name to the document, and filed it in the same 1983 federal court lawsuit. This action was taken without the knowledge or consent of Ms. Foster. That is a stipulation in this case. The document that Mr. Bozzelli points to, the order of the court, was in front of the hearing panel. It was Respondent's Exhibit D4. The panel was well aware of it. And in that document, the court asks whether or not the reply in Stanter really was Ms. Foster's or not. It doesn't sound like the court knew exactly what was happening, and that is the reason for the 3.3A1 violation. There have been no constitutional violations here and no need for remand. In his filing, Mr. Bozzelli states that Magistrate Rezavi was listening to the hearing and then testified. Magistrate Rezavi never testified. Therefore, there could not be a due process issue. Mr. Bozzelli was not convicted of a crime. He was found to have done something that was equivalent to a crime, and that was threatening to kill his client. Further, as far as discovery, Mr. Bozzelli never filed any requests for discovery, and any informal requests for discovery were answered. There is no record in this case that discovery was not given to Mr. Bozzelli's attorneys. As far as respect, Mr. Bozzelli has not shown respect to the court, the disciplinary system, or his clients. We believe that since there has been no remorse, no responsibility, and no respect, that the board's recommendation of a 2 full-year suspension, petition for reinstatement necessary, and 6 hours of CLE involving the issues of sexual harassment and employee management, along with the normal CLE requirements, the $7,869 restitution on Ms. Tremonti's claim, and that Mr. Bozzelli pay the costs. Thank you.
Counsel, you recommend, or you agree with a 2-year suspension, okay? Yet I just heard you say that he has to petition to be readmitted. Isn't that the process for an indefinite suspension?
That would be my understanding. However, the board found that he needed to petition for reinstatement. So okay, I'm not sure how we resolve that issue.
Okay, and I'm presuming that is then to show that the contingencies are met. In other words, restitution, et cetera.
That would be my understanding.
Okay. All right. Anything further, Ms. Walker?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Bozzelli, you have saved over 5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, very quickly, as it relates to the separation agreement that states Ottawa County and the date, we were shooting for December of 2018 because that's when the change in law would have taken place with respect to whether or not spousal support could be deducted. That was strategy. Ottawa County is listed because at that time, the statement was made and the request was from Mrs. Tremonti. She did not want to do this anywhere in the area, and that there would have been an establishment of residence by that time as it relates to a dissolution. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, you can inquire of her in that regard, but that's what took place, and that's not a fake document. But again, please go to the database, which shows in my computer what did and didn't happen. Don't listen to the words that I use or don't use. That will show what did and did not take place. And that goes to the billing as with Tremonti as well. As it relates to the issues of mitigation, Your Honor, with respect to the statements that have been made, I am not clear as to what my wife's work or ability to work is playing into this other than what has truthfully been made in the way of the statement as far as hardship. My wife continues presently to not be able to work. She's had, unfortunately, yet another surgery. She is a fighter and she's on her mend. Now, having said that, this is about what I did. I own responsibility for my actions or inactions. As it relates to mitigation, I'd ask the court to consider, first of all, as to Ms. Sheridan, when I was no longer on the case, that was not the end of it. Once I found out who appellate counsel was, an inquiry can be made. I worked directly with him to ensure that the outline that I created at day one of that case was utilized, specifically that this was an insufficiency case because of the lack of a record, because of the problems they had with the tape recording system. I also had 2 and 3 phone calls after that with Attorney Wesley Johnson. Whether or not that is a matter of discussion or belief, he is available for that purpose. The good news is, unfortunately, and my apologies again to Mrs. Sheridan, is that the arguments that I created resulted in a reversal on the basis of insufficient evidence in the Court of Appeals on her case. I don't show contrition and remorse just because of my makeup by saying how sorry I am when I am sorry, but I have to prove it by my actions. And hopefully my actions in assisting counsel will show that I back up my words and I own what I did. In addition to that, there have been no other prior disciplinary actions. I have cooperated through the disciplinary process, providing documents 2, 3, and 4 times, making sure that everything was provided that was requested. As far as restitution, we are still waiting on a ruling in the Medina County Court of Common Pleas where the individual who stole monies in excess of $15,000 from us, which have not been repaid, even though the hearing officer, all due respect to Judge Koss, has stated. And instead, there's a hearing on restitution on what that amount will be. Those were the monies, our savings, that would have gone to pay Ms. Tremonti. She would have been paid by now had those monies still been available. As it relates to anything else with respect to mitigation, I would just respectfully disagree with the statements that have been made, only that I have always been very upfront and clear as it relates to our marital counseling, individual counseling, the letters that I provided, that I do volunteer work pro bono. I was awarded volunteer legal services project attorney for 2020, only to have that award taken away in 2021 by the Medina County Bar at their request. The relator counsel. I don't say that because I want awards for the things that I do. I'm supposed to be detached after I do something to be of service to everybody else. But I have to mention them now so that you know that I do not focus on selfish motives. I try to help other people as much as I can, and including pro bono cases. As far as other activities are concerned, in pro bono, I have also done that through the juvenile court in Summit County. I have done that with senior citizens through volunteer legal services and legal aid. And I also have worked on the Wadsworth Drug-Free Community Coalition, being their counsel. And from a personal standpoint, as I said, individual counseling, I attend NARNON meetings at least 2, if not 3 per week. I have a sponsor. And I continue in my personal counseling for my PTSD and GAD, which I have had since my victimization as a child. So with all of those things together, I want the court to know I did contact OLAP. I'm not using that as for any excuse, just so that the court is aware that I have disclosed these things, and if they have any questions, fine, please, I will do my best to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the matter under advisement and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you please adjourn court?
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.